Blog Talk Radio.
We are the world, we are the children, we are the ones who make a better day, so let's start giving. Relationships don't work between black people. Racism and white supremacy is the reason.
Absolutely.
Can't get a job in the hood and you educated. Racism and white supremacy.
Absolutely.
Can't get an education in the hood because it's expensive. Racism and white supremacy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Poor education in the hood you live in. Racism and white supremacy.
Absolutely.
You live next to poor people who will rob your ass, steal and kill your ass because they don't have no options and they don't have no option to critically think. Racism and white supremacy.
Yeah.
And I see that that's a problem. So I wanted to just make a pimp decision.
$1 trillion flow.
$1 trillion.
From L.A. to Miami. Minnesota to Detroit. Chicago. Alabama. Texas. $1 trillion flow. Houston. $1 trillion. New Orleans. Bill Street. People of Maryland, float. Atlanta, Georgia, float. The $1 billion float. Over enough. Enough for everybody. It was made for us to be rich. Made for us to be brilliant. People of color. People of color. You ask not, you have not. We ask it for what's ours. We're calling for you, you and you, to come into the $1 billion flow. New car, new home. New land, new expression. A new philosophy. A new love. $1 billion flow. $1 trillion flow. We are able to have more money than the government, because we are the government. $1 trillion flow coming from Egypt. Coming from the mother country, Africa, to New York and Chicago, the birthplace of Malcolm X, the birthplace of Martin Luther King, DuSable. I'm talking $1 trillion flow, the slave train. I'm talking about all laws done by Robinson, the slave train, the $1 billion flow. You and me. Poor and rich. We are rich because we're in the $1 billion flow. Yes, you can have that new Benz. Yes, you can have that Beamer. Yes, you can have that Rose. Yes, you can have that. Yes, you can have that up on the hill, up in New York, up in California, out in Oakland, Compton, L.A. You can have the $1 billion. Yo. 100%. You 100% deal. You 100% woman. You 100% man. You 100% up with your effort. I'm talking about the $1 billion flow. We are right for getting what belongs to us. Give me what you owe me, and you owe me $1 billion flow. I want what's mine. I want to have the best of life. I want the sun to shine on me. I want my fellas to wake up. People of color all over the world is in the $1 billion flow. Maybe you in Atlanta, Georgia. Maybe you in down in California. Maybe you in Texas. Maybe you in New York. Maybe you in Florida. Maybe you in Canada, but you in the $1 billion. Maybe you in St. Paul, Minnesota. Indianapolis, Indiana, which is about the $1 billion flow. It's going on up in New York, in Chicago, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, New Orleans. It's going on, the $1 billion flow. Down in Texas, Arkansas, North Carolina, South Carolina. $1 trillion flow.
$1 trillion.
From L.A. to Miami. Minnesota to Detroit. Chicago. Alabama. Made us be rich. made for us to be brilliant. People of color. People who have melanin. You ask not, you have not. We ask it for what's ours. We're calling for you, you and you, to come into the $1 billion flow. New car, new home. New land, new expression. A new philosophy. A new love. $1 billion flow. $1 trillion flow. We are able to have more money than the government, because we are the government. $1 trillion flow coming from Egypt. Coming from the mother country, Africa, to New York and Chicago, the birthplace of Malcolm X, the birthplace of Martin Luther King, DuSable. I'm talking about $1 trillion flow, the slave train. I'm talking about all laws done by Robeson, the slave train, the $1 billion flow. You and me, me and you. Poor and rich. We are rich because we're in the $1 billion flow. Yeah, you can have that new Benz. Yeah, you can have that Beamer. Yes, you can have that Rose. Yes, you can have that Cadillac. Yes, you can have that up on the hill, up in New York, up in California, out in Oakland, Compton, L.A. You can have the $1 billion. Yo. Is 100%. You 100% healed. You 100% woman. You 100% man. You 100% up with your education. I'm talking about the $1 billion flow. We are right for getting what belongs to us. Give me what you owe me, and you owe me $1 billion flow. I want what's mine. I want to have the best of life. I want the sun to shine on me. I want my fellas to wake up. People of color all over the world. In the $1 billion flow. Maybe you in Atlanta, Georgia. Maybe you in down in California. Maybe you in Texas. Maybe you in New York. Maybe you in Florida. Maybe you in Canada, but you in the $1 billion flow. Maybe you in St. Paul, Minnesota, or Indianapolis, Indiana. We're talking about the $1 billion flow. It's going on up in New York, in Chicago, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, New Orleans. It's going on, the $1 billion flow. Down in Texas, Arkansas, North Carolina, South Carolina, Phoenix, Las Vegas, New York. We're calling for the $1 billion flow. I see you rise up and be brilliant. Say I'm rich, because I'm in this $1 billion flow. I am the original man. I am the original woman. I must have my respect. I must have my education. I must have $1 billion.
Talking about the $1 trillion flow and how much the ancestors owe us and owe our family. I want you to get ready. I want to invite you into the Word of God. I want to invite you into the healing of God and the angels that will watch over you. I want to thank you, Dr. Christian. I want to thank you, Mary Hawkins. And Pearl, you didn't call me, so call me. I want to know your results. Ashe.
Father, I stretch my hand to you. From me,
Be it secular or sacred, there isn't a greater love story than the story of the prodigal son. Jesus dramatically tells of God's love and God's patience and God's long suffering. And God's concern about man in this passage. He intended to show, first of all, the danger of self-righteousness in the characterization of the son that stayed at home. Although he stayed at home, although he did not go astray, although he did not engage in wild and riotous living, when his brother was redeemed and was regained, he was too selfish to come in and join in the banquet and celebrate the recovery of his lost brother. So that Jesus intends for us to learn in this that it is as dangerous to stay in the church and be selfish as it is to go out but finally come back. Now the theme of this passage is love. And Jesus intended to show us that God is a God of the law. Now Jesus also said that God was not the God of the living, or of the dead, but a God of the living. By that, he did not mean that he turned his back on you when you die. But he rather meant that no man is dead with God. And David had us to know that we cannot escape to any realm where God is not. If he went into the heavens, if he went to the utmost parts of the earth, if he made his bed in hell, behold, God is there. So God is the God of the lost. You do not believe that he's the God of the lost, make up in your mind to come back to God. And like the father of the prodigal, his arms will be wide open. And a rope will be waiting, you understand, in his one rope of blessings. Now, I said the theme of this story is love. Jesus in this chapter tells of three things that were lost. First, he tells of lost sheep. Secondly, he tells of lost money. Thirdly, he tells of a lost son. In the case of the lost sheep, the shepherd went back over his steps and over his traveling the day, the previous day, and searched in every ravine and every mountainside and every valley until he had regained the sheep that was lost. The woman who lost one of her coins of ten struck in every corner and under every bed and behind every door until she had found her lost coin. But then there's no word of anybody having gone out to look for this lost son. You see, in the case of the sheep, we have the loss of property. In the case of the lost coin, we have financial loss. In the case of the son, we have human loss. People go out looking to regain lost property. People work not to shift in order to regain lost money. But very few people bother themselves about trying to regain lost son, lost daughter, lost husband or lost wife, or even lost friend. This young man, in the case of the prodigal son, became restless, according to the story, and became a little impatient with the discipline and order and regulation of his home. Possibly his brother led a life that was too dull. Possibly the loving rule of his father was a little irritating. Yet he was young, and the blood of youth was dancing for anxiety and excitement in his veins. You understand, his heart had grown alien. Alien to his home. Alien to the traditional situation among his people. Alien to the things that were native to him. The far country of excitement beckoned to him. And he went to his father and petitioned him, "Father, give me all of the goods that fall to me." His father did not hesitate. He immediately divided his living. You understand? And gave the young man his share. And not many days, he took his journey into that far country. Listen, if you please. He didn't go off looking for the young man. For the young man was lost. Yes, he was lost. I don't mean only so far as morals or so far as that which is spiritual is concerned. I mean he was lost from himself. For the record is that when he found himself in the pigpen, he came to himself, which means that he was not at himself when he left home. I wish I had somebody here to share with me. You see, there are situations in life. Let me put it this way. I think sometimes that adversity helps us to find ourselves. Some of the folk who are sitting here, listen to me, have gone through experiences and know that there are times in your life when you thought you knew it all. When you thought that you could impose your way and your will on everybody. When you thought that it was right to be selfish. For you see, the first law of nature may be self first, but the first law of grace is others first. I wish I had somebody here praying with me tonight. Go ahead now. Listen if you please. And it took a little adversity. It took a little sickness. Or it took a little misfortune. Or it took a little shake-up in your life to help you to find yourself. You see, this young man didn't. You understand, his heart had grown alien. Alien to his home. Alien to the traditional situation among his people. Alien to the things that were native to him. The far country of excitement beckoned to him. And he went to his father and petitioned him, "Father, give me all of the goods that fall to me." His father did not hesitate. He immediately divided his living. You understand? And gave the young man his share. And not many days, he took his journey into that far country. Listen, if you please. He didn't go off looking for the young man. For the young man was lost. Yes, he was lost. I don't mean only so far as morals or so far as that which is spiritual is concerned. I mean he was lost from himself. For the record is that when he found himself in the pigpen, he came to himself, which means that he was not at himself when he left home. Situations in life. Let me put it this way. I think sometimes that adversity helps us to find ourselves. Some of the folk who are sitting here listening to me have gone through experiences and know that there are times in your life when you thought you knew it all. When you thought that you could impose your way and your will on everybody. When you thought that it was right to be selfish. For you see, the first law of nature may be self first. But the first law of grace is others first. I'm glad somebody here praying with me tonight. Go ahead now, just if you please.
Come on.
And it took a little adversity. It took a little sickness, or it took a little misfortune, or it took a little shake-up in your life to help you to find yourself. You see, this young man didn't find himself until he had gone all the way from a palace to a pig pen. Pray with me if you please. Took his journey into a far country. For he was alien. Alien from God, alien from friends, alien from his surroundings and from his native home.
Amen.
The wild blue yonder called. And there was nothing at home that could satisfy him. Hence he took his journey into a far country. with his gold bracelets, with his servants, with his camels, and with all of his flock. Why, no doubt, the far country of his desire received him with open arms. For when you don't need anything, you always can get anything you want. If you have a car, anybody will let you ride. If you have money, anybody will lend you some money. But if it gets around that you're broke, the story is different. I wish somebody would pray with me. This young man dissipated not only his body. And listen, if you please, he dissipated everything else that he had. And you know, there are a lot of people who think and who talk about how expensive it is to be a member of the church. I want a sad notice on you tonight. It's far more expensive to follow after the ways of the world than it is to be a child of God. For when you get with the crowd out yonder, you're all right as long as you can help bear the load. You're all right as long as you can contribute to the pot. You're all right as long as you can honor everybody set up. But when it gets to the place where you can't do that, the world is through with you. You don't believe I'm telling you the truth? Go with me to one of the tuberculosis sanitariums tonight and talk with me along with many a young man and many a young woman. And they will tell you as long as things were going well, they could not sleep for the telephone. They had to be at every party. But when they had wasted all, when the famine of health rose in their lives, the telephone doesn't ring anymore. And on visiting day, that crowd of friends that they used to run with are conspicuously missing. I wish I had somebody here to pray with me. Yes. But listen, brothers and sisters. This young man was reduced to a very shameful level for a man of his nationality. Only a Jew could tell you how he felt about tying himself to a Gentile master in these far-off days and having to work among swine. The young man sat there, you understand, in the hog pen. He sat there hungry, sat there, you understand, full of experience and wisdom that he had gained from all of his tribes. And as he sat there thinking about it, hungry and realizing that he'd come from a palace down to a pig pen. And in this situation, the record is he came to himself. I wish somebody tonight that's listening to me would sit right where you are and come to yourself. Oh Lord, you know Jesus told this story in order to let me know that he had faith in men. That he did not believe that man was ultimately sinful and wicked. But the ultimate end. I shall not walk. It's a very personal thing, isn't it? He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. Did you hear what I said? He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
My Lord.
Isn't it so?
thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. A very personal thing. I don't think too much of people who have no personal testimony about God and his goodness. Some folks say, well, you know, I'm not very much of a talker. And I can't say anything in church. If God has meant anything in your life, you ought to be willing to say anyway. You ought to be able to say what God means to me.
Well, amen.
If the Lord means anything, let the saints of God say so. Pray with me.
Well,
if David was off of this passage, then it was born out of some of his experiences.
Yes, sir.
Possibly at the time that he penned this particular passage, this psalm, he was sitting upon an ivory throne. Israel's first citizen. With a scepter of authority in his hand. With courtiers and ambassadors gathered before him. And yet he takes the retrospect back down the vista of the past. And began to think about those things that brought him over. Had it been his skillfulness? Had it been his superior intelligence? Had it been his political maneuvering? Had it been his contacts? Had it been money? Had it been armies? No, sir. It had been the Lord. Thus he says, the Lord has been my shepherd. No wonder the man said, through many dangerous trials and snares, I have already come. It wasn't money, it wasn't military power, it wasn't chicanery, it wasn't political strings being pulled. It was grace that brought me saved thus far. And grace will lead me on. Here's a man who had been brought by God from the obscurity of the dry and barren hills of Judah. To the throne of Israel. Here's a man who come up from the unknown and have faced the fear of giant Goliath. Outside in the town of Succoth at the Valley of Elah. With the soldiers of Israel arrayed on one mountain. And the soldiers of the Philistines arrayed on the other. And this man who had been decorated for his valor and bravery was walking between the mountains, exclaiming in loud tones of profanity, or exclaiming profanity against the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. You know how he requested audience with the king, and how he started out with Saul's own helmet on his head, Saul's own sword in his hand, Saul's own shield on his arm. But having no experience and training in this kind of a thing, he took them back and requested only his strength and God. You know the victory that he brought to Israel. And when he went marching back to the capital, the women along the way composed a new song. Since Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000. You know the jealousy that this aroused in Saul. And how Saul sought to kill him. And how he had to run and hide. And one day when there were a company of men coming in from the south, and another company closing in from the north, and another one from the east, and another one from the west, and there was no escape for David. And God whispered to a spider and told David to run in a cave and told that spider to get busy and web up that cave. And when the soldiers got there, God is my shepherd.
it to my satisfaction. He let me then lay down in a penny. Green pasture. It's a green pasture. That's why I don't like to hear people talking about I'm a Christian and trying to be all pitiful. No, this thing is nothing piteous.
No.
I'm a child of the King.
Yeah.
And my Father says the world is mine.
Yeah.
And the fullness thereof belongs to me.
Yeah.
Gold and silver are mine.
Yeah.
And I have 10,000 blessings in my hand.
Yeah.
Just for charity.
Yeah.
Nothing pitiful. He makes me to lie down in green pasture.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
All right, huh?
And he lead me beside the still water.
Yeah.
The still water. Yeah. They tell me that this part of the verse was inspired by an occurrence that constantly or frequently occurred with respect to shepherds and their sheep in Palestine. It is said that very often when the sheep went down to the Sea of Galilee, the waves were billowing and tossed it. Sheep being of a timid nature, would leave very often without sufficient drink. Shepherds devised a scheme to dig a trench leading from the main stream. And then let the trench run over, and at the end of the trench, dig a pool and let the water from the main stream run out and run through the trench and into the pool. And the water in the pool was called still water. Though the waves were dashing out here, though the white caps were kissing one another upon the surface of the water, the water in the pool was still and placid. I think that's what God does for us who have faith in Him. Sometimes life's billowy sea, it's too restless for our timid souls to drink. But God has a way of opening up a private pool and letting our souls drink to the soul's satisfaction. I don't believe you know what I'm talking about tonight. Yes, he does. He opens up a private pool for my soul. And not only that, he restores my soul. Soul, it's pretty hard to define. Nobody can really say what soul is. I think as close as we can come, you just say it's a little part of God. And then soul has been defined as being one's ability to sympathize. One's ability to be considerate. One's ability to be considerate and compassionate. One's ability to be unselfish. Isn't it so? So that if you've lost your ability to sympathize with others, if you are only interested in your own welfare, if you are inconsiderate of everybody but yourself, you have lost your soul. And David seems to have found himself in that condition on one occasion. And then he went to God. And he created in him a clean heart. And renewed a right spirit within him. And then restored his soul. I wish you knew what I was talking about tonight. Restored his soul. Here's his soul. No wonder then he said, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness. He leadeth me. It is said that Dr. Tu, the great Chinese Christian, one day was standing out on a hill overlooking a little city in China where he was born. It is said that the Japanese planes, when China was at war, flew over and bombed the home of his birth. Bombed the bank where he had his last dime. Bombed the school of his childhood. Bombed the hospital where many of his friends and many of his neighbors were. Bombed everything. And when everything had gone up in flame and smoke, he thought about he had a little testament in his pocket. He reached in his pocket and it opened
at this same passage, the 23rd Psalm.
Yes.
And when everything was gone,
yes,
he began reading, "The Lord is my shepherd.
Yes.
I shall not want.
Yes.
He maketh me to lie down in green pasture."
Yes,
yes he does. "He leadeth me in paths of righteousness."
Yeah.
You know, my brothers and my sisters,
yeah,
don't you know I would lose my way? But for the fact that the Lord leads me.
Well.
But you see, the way of righteousness is a narrow way.
Boy.
The way of truth is a narrow way.
Well.
The way of love is a narrow way.
Yeah.
The way of justice is a narrow way.
Well.
Certainly the way of righteousness is a narrow way.
Yeah.
And I believe that almost any of us would lose our way if it were not for God.
Yes.
But the reason why I do not lose my way always,
yes,
the Lord lead me.
Yes.
For the Lord is my shepherd,
well,
and
yes,
I shall not want.
Yes,
he maketh me to lie down in green pastures.
Yes.
He lead me by the still waters.
Yes.
He restores my soul.
Boy.
I don't believe you know what I'm talking about tonight. Lord, he lead me in paths of righteousness.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Lord, he's holding my hand. At this same passage, the 23rd Psalm.
Yes.
And when everything was gone,
yes,
he began reading, "The Lord is my shepherd.
Yes.
I shall not want."
Yes.
He maketh me to lie down in green pasture.
Yes.
Yes, he does. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness.
Yes.
You know, my brothers and my sisters,
yes,
don't you know I would lose my way? But for the fact that the Lord leads me.
Well.
But you see, the way of righteousness is a narrow way.
Boy.
The way of truth is a narrow way.
Well.
The way of love is a narrow way.
Yeah.
The way of justice is a narrow way.
Well.
Certainly the way of righteousness is a narrow way.
Yeah.
And I believe that almost any of us would lose our way if it were not for God.
Yes.
But the reason why I do not lose my way always,
yes,
the Lord lead me.
Yes.
For the Lord is my shepherd,
well,
and yes, I shall not want.
Yes, sir.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures.
Yes.
He lead me by the still waters.
Yes.
He restores my soul.
Boy.
I don't believe you know what I'm talking about tonight. Lord, he lead me in paths of righteousness.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Lord, he's holding my hand. Otherwise, I'd go astray.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, I'd take the road to destruction.
Yeah.
But the Lord is holding my hand.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about tonight.
Yeah.
But in the highways and byways of life, I like to feel that the Lord is leading me. On the streets of Detroit or wherever I go, I like to feel that he's leading me. Leading me around the bend. Leading me around the pitfall. Yeah, though I walk through the valley,
yeah,
the shadow of death.
Well.
You know, some people feel that this is when you die.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. But I'm not only in death shadows when I die.
Well.
Sometimes in the midst of life, I'm in the shadow of death.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. And the only reason why that I don't lose heart,
well,
the only reason why I don't give up, my God,
yeah,
is Lord and his
staff,
yeah, by my side.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, I don't have to worry,
no,
and I don't have to get in any hurry.
Yeah.
Somebody may say, well, Don't you know life's valley is dangerous?
Yeah.
And don't you know it's fraught with death?
Yeah.
And if you got to go through, you ought to hurry
yeah.
and go on through.
Yeah.
I tell those people, no,
yeah.
I'm in no hurry.
Yeah.
I can just walk, take my time.
Yeah.
Not even if I don't hurry. Get afraid, I feel him near me. Oh Lord, and when enemies have predicted that I'm through, when enemies have said that he's finished, oh Lord, he doesn't have anything. See me eating and see bread on my table. Oh Lord, he put the diet and the menu of love on my table. He put the menu of peace on my table. He put on the menu inner contentment and satisfaction. And even it all around me. And unless I get a prayer, he pours oil on my head. I'm running the other side. The Lord is. The Lord is. The Lord is. The Lord is. He's mine tonight. If he is yours, I don't know how you feel about it, but the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. The Lord take me to green pasture. The Lord take me to valley green. The Lord take me down by the still water. Stay in the house of the Lord.
Father, open eyes that we Ah.